Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Wealth and Wellness Studio, the podcast where we're taking you along the journey with us of building empires in business, but also in our personal lives, building our dream lives, inspiring you to do the same exact thing. This is a podcast that's going to help you get hotter, happier, healthier, and wealthier. I'm your co-host, Natalia, and this is Kat.
Hi.
So today we're going to be talking about the top five habits of women entrepreneurs. We're still early on in our journeys, but both Kat and I have built six-figure businesses and are on our way to trying to build massive empires. So at this point in time, we've started the journey and we're proud of how far we've come. We know we still have a long way to go. And I want to be very clear, we're not giving you this advice as like pretending like we've already made it or acting like we're the top 1%.
Definitely not.
These are lessons that we've learned from our mentors and also just from
experience.
Yeah. What we've learned on the process of building the businesses to the level that we've taken them as we're on the journey of building, of multiplying them.
Yes.
So we're just going to go ahead and get started. We're going to give you guys our top five habits that we believe have helped us scale our businesses. So the first thing that we want to talk about is taking actions on the things that actually move the needle forward. Because you can be doing a lot, but doing all the wrong things and never actually build your business. Like, I think a lot of entrepreneurs or a lot of people starting out think that just because you're busy, like, action alone isn't going to get you anywhere. Strategic action will. You can be working super hard at things that are just not going to move the needle forward. And if you're spending all of your time on the wrong thing, you're going to burn yourself out and you're not actually going to make progress on your business. So Kat, what do you think about that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I like, there's been a lot of times for me in the past that I feel like I'm doing a lot, but I'm getting nothing done. You know what I mean? Exactly. And that's really a really frustrating place to be in, because you're like, man, I spent my day so busy, but what at the end of the day, you're like, what did I do?
Like,
what value did I add? Right. And sometimes there are those days that just happen to be like that because there's certain tasks, but a lot of times it is just because sometimes the order, sometimes the way it's done, whatever it may be, maybe it's not aligned to have the best potential outcome. So it is really like, strategize your actions, but also make strategy on how to execute those actions and the order you do it, right? So, I 100%. Mean, you have these actions you want to take, you understand where you want to go, but take the time to know, like, before actually doing the action too, think about how you're going to do those actions to get the outcome that will lead you to where you want to go in the best way, and then if possible, in the fastest way.
100%. So like, so to give a practical example in my own business, this would mean that knowing what are the, like, what area of my business can I put the most time and attention to that's going to give me the highest return on results. So for me, I know that that's sales, marketing, and systems. If I write down my top three priorities of the day, instead of spending like 3 hours on instead of spending like 5 hours on like a random graphic or 5 hours on what's something you could waste my time on? 5 hours on implementing like a system that's not actually relevant to like the highest output activity for my business. Like, I know for me right now in my business, like the top three strategic things that I can do to move the needle forward are implementing systems for automation. Because I already have like a pretty big customer base and now I'm in a scaling season. So I know that implementing SOPs and systems of automation and learning how to outsource is like a huge one for me that's going to move the needle forward. The other one for me is leads, and just knowing that for nurturing the leads that I already have, nurturing the inbound leads that I already have, closing those for me and like onboarding them and creating systems for those clients is like the most useful use of my time right now, and has been what's been allowing me to continue growing my business at like a at an exponential rate and continue to see the numbers scale. So I think within each and every business, you always have like a million and one tasks on your to-do list, but you can't always get all of them done. And so just putting them in an order of priority of understanding like which things should I focus on that are going to have the highest yield of growth for my business and my personal life? Yeah. So that's
and a lot of times one will automatically check out the other one if you do it in the right order, right? But exactly. I love that. I love your first one. The second one, I think it's, and as I know we've talked about, but it's being aligned with what you're doing and being bold in the actions that you're taking, right? So being aligned, meaning be convicted of whatever business or whatever product or whatever you're working on, not just for the fact, like, don't just do it for the fact of, oh, I see this as a potential way to make money. I mean, that, obviously, that's a great factor. You need to make sure that it is economically viable. but to not, like, be aligned with whatever product or whatever business you are wanting to do or that you're executing, because that will automatically put you in a place where you'll give so much more effort, you'll be a lot more interested, and you'll be able to take a lot more time and not feel like it's work, just feel like it is value added to your life. And then the other one, which goes with the second point, which is the taking the bold actions, because a lot of times it does, for you to really do something that will move the needle or will propel you forward, it does need to be something that maybe doesn't, it puts you in a place that you're not so comfortable with, whether if that's talking to a certain client, or whether if that's making a general management decision that's going to restructure your business or different things like that. Like, bold actions, obviously put thought into them. Don't just go, oh, I'm just going to do this because 100%. It feels like, you know, it's like going to cause a scene, not in a negative way, in a scene, in a sense that it's going to shake up something. You don't just want to do that. You do want to make sure that by doing that, it's going to add value, but to not be scared of throwing yourself out there or throwing that action out there or that idea.
Exactly.
Don't stop yourself short because you think, wow, it's going to be too much. Maybe that too much is what's going to open the doors for a lot more.
No, I absolutely love that. And to touch on that, emotional stability and self-sabotage, I feel like, I think working on your personal confidence and working on your emotional stability, a lot of times, every time you reach a new level in business, it's going to feel terrible because you've never done it before. So you're going to make mistakes that you've never done before. Also, like, your emotional stability can be so up and down with the natural ebbs and flow of economy, of business, of the failures that you're going to face, the customer service issues that you're going to face, depending on what business you're in. And so, like, working on your emotional stability where you're not making emotional decisions for the business because of your mood. And so learning to manage your mood and how long does it take me to get back to baseline? Like, how fast can I recover so that I can continue to do the work that's going to move the needle forward instead of feeling like so anxious or so out of it or so unstable emotionally that I'm sabotaging the success of the business because of poor decision-making skills personally 100%. Or the fact that I can't handle conflict or failure. Yeah.
I love that. And that is to tie in with the topic that it is woman. And guys, I'll be the first one to say that I'm like, obviously, and it's proven fact, women are more emotional than men. Men work more on a logical sense, on a logical basis. We work more on an emotional basis, which is why a lot of times it does give us an upper edge because we're reading the room in a way that sometimes a man would not do it. Obviously, though, like, we fail at a lot of times logical, or we just get very emotional, and it is a place that can be a lot more sensitive. So, because we're quote unquote not in a negative way, but we can be all over the place in this area, it is really good to just get grounded, take a time, just, like, you know, take that day for yourself to work on that stability and then go back at it again.
I love it. Number three is boundaries and investing in yourself without guilt. I know one of the things that I feel so guilty is it's hard for me to, like, wake up in the morning with, like, a long to-do list and to feel like I have permission to go to the gym, which is so funny because, like, I don't know why I feel guilty if I don't start working first thing in the morning, but I've realized it's such a deterrent to my business when I approach it from survival mode versus from play mode. Like, it works so much better when you actually have a full cup to give with other people and not let your business and your clients, like, have no boundaries with yourself.
100%. That one's huge for me too. Just boundaries also in terms of the workload. That's a big thing too, because you are going to, obviously, as an entrepreneur, there are going to be days that you work really late hours and there's going to be days that you work the whole entire week. I mean, you know, for both of us, we're constantly busy, and that's part of it. That's fine. That's a journey, but don't take yourself to the point of burnout, then you're going to lose all the progress that just happened and all the progress going forward for like a few days until you, you know, reconnect. So set the boundaries for what you know you can handle and what you can't. And like Nat said, I mean, if for you waking up, you know, meditating or reading the Bible or like taking that time to go to the gym or doing other things, and it takes those that time to work on those areas in your life that is more of a personal area, don't be guilty, don't feel guilty to do that, because if it is constructing who you are and your and it's feeding your soul so that you can pour in a lot more effort and time into your work, then that's gonna add so much more value. So
I love it. I completely agree with everything Kat said.
All right. The other one is fourth, which is just educate yourself. That goes in two ways for me. Well, three ways, actually. First one, I think, is just doing it. Don't wait until the right moment. A lot of times, obviously, it can be the right moment within like the day. I'm not referring to the right moment within like the year, you know, kind of thing. Don't wait for that, because a lot of times that's not going to come. The best way to start something is when you're not ready, because mm-hmm. you are taking in so much and you're not overthinking it, because you're just going with it, just, oh, whatever, I'll just send it, you know, and whatever happens. It is really, so just trying it for yourself, that's how you're going to learn a lot of stuff. I mean, not to bring the controversial topic to it, but even I know a lot of my friends that have big majors in areas, I'm not talking about in terms of more in terms of management and marketing and business, like those areas, not in terms of doctors and stuff like that, but that they say, well, I probably apply like 10% of what I learned in university, everything else that I learned
that
I execute was on the job, which is totally fair, because it's the environment, right? You, when you're put into the environment and you're actually executing, then it gives you that. So that's the first one within that sector. The other one is surround yourself with the with people that are taking you where you want to go. And we're constantly saying that, so I don't think that one we have to go too much in depth. But again, I always look at it as finding people who are quote unquote better than me, mm-hmm. because I want to grow and I want to learn and I want to feel motivated and I want to feel challenged and I want to, like, even in a workout, when you're working out with somebody else, a lot of times you'll push yourself even harder because you're like, you know, I want to keep up type of thing. That's a bit in the same sense as business, for sure. And then the other part is just investing in yourself in terms of courses, books, things like that. I mean, there's so much value out there that it doesn't require, again, not to be controversial, but doesn't require a 4-year commitment or 6-year, whatever it may be. It's a course and it adds a lot of value. Books. I mean, Alex Hormozi has so much stuff of value that you can do it so quickly. True. A bunch of other people as well. There's so many good podcasts, Diary of CEO, a bunch of other ones that just add so much value. And they're just a couple of minutes or a couple of days of commitment.
Exactly. No, I think to add on to what Kat was saying is like, surround yourself with, like, take advice from people who have achieved the thing that you want to achieve in that area of life. So like, if I want to build $1 million business, I probably should not go to someone who has $100,000 a year business and ask them for advice on how to scale my business to $1 million. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, I need to go to someone who's achieved a 7-figure business to ask them what are the specific things that you've implemented that have taken you from a 6 to 7-figure business, right? So 100%. I think just like, go when it comes to education, like, not all education is created equal, just because I think most people have something valuable to teach, but if you're like taking lessons from the wrong teacher, it's still going to lead you nowhere. So like, just be sure that you're taking, like, if you want to achieve a certain body type, like, go to somebody who trains that style. Like, if you're trying to train for High Rocks, you don't go to an Ironman athlete and ask them for their workout plan. You're going to go to a High Rocks athlete, right? So same thing for like skincare, like, you're going to go to a skincare expert. So I think just overall, like, make sure you're educating yourself from the right person for each one. And number 5 is fail fast, fail forward. So put in the reps, kind of like Kat was saying with the last one, like, the best way to learn how to do something is to do it. I think a lot of us are like mentally at the beginning, you're like mentally masturbating because you're reading so many books, you're listening to so many podcasts, you're asking so many people how to do the thing, when the thing you actually need to do is to go do the thing. You're going to learn so much more doing the thing than you will asking people about the thing. And I know that's a lot of things in one sentence, but essentially, like, stop mentally masturbating, like, stop. At a certain point, you have to stop reading books. You need to stop listening to podcasts, and you need to actually go and put it into action. Because if you don't put it into action, you're just like spinning in circles.
For sure. There's something I heard really recently, which I just saw the documentary of the guy. I forget his name. I think his name is Ross something. But he was the guy that last year in 2024, he broke the world record for the longest continuous swim without stopping. His documentary is amazing. I recommend anyone watching it. I love what he says, which I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly correctly, but he says a failure only becomes a failure if you don't eventually like or keep trying in order to succeed. So let me rephrase that. If you try something over and over again and you keep failing, if by the 10th try you actually succeed, then all those other times that you failed were not failures, they were lessons.
Yes. That's so good, Kat.
And it's a really good it's a great way to think about it, which also then propels you forward because you're thinking, no, I can't make this a failure because this will become a failure if I keep failing. But if I do succeed eventually, it was just all lessons and to get to that point that I'm here today. So,
yeah. Oh, no, I love this so much, guys. We want to know what are your thoughts on what habits make, and I guess this isn't just specific to women entrepreneurs, but what habits make entrepreneurs successful? We want to hear your thoughts, your mindset shifts, and which one your favorite was. So be sure to follow us at the Wealth and Wellness Studio on Instagram and tune in next week. Every week we're helping you guys, just sharing what we're learning on our journey of building empires and building our dream lives. And we hope that we're inspiring you to build your own too. Do you want to ask them to leave us reviews, Kat?
Yeah, so if you guys like this podcast and this episode, please leave us a review, 5-star review. If it is not a 5-star review, we still want to hear your feedback, but let us know what we can do better, or even if there's a certain topic you guys want to hear. But yeah, we would love if you guys could support us, leave us a review, and we hope to see you guys next week. Oh, fudge. Wait, hold on. Let me say that one again.
No, you're good.
And we hope to see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Perfect. That one.